When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They are Sports Illustrated.
It's amazing.
This incredible body of work.
I really appreciate the integrity.
Everything you do is well done.
You guys do a great job.
We love it. What can we say?
He's Chris Mannix.
He's employed by Sports Illustrated.
The announcer's got it in for me.
There you go.
This is the Crossover NBA Podcast.
If you have a problem with it, build a team that can beat them.
Hosted by the one and only.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Chris Mannix.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Crossover NBA Podcast. On this episode, we're going to get into all things Lakers and Clippers. The Clippers, big weekend for them. The Lakers, disappointing. No other word you can use to describe it. Where do they go from here? Plus, could Russell Westbrook be on the move in Oklahoma City? And who wants Russell Westbrook at this point? We'll get into all that and much more on this podcast. If you like this podcast, head over to Apple Podcasts, post a comment, leave a rating. It's simple, it's easy, it's free. It's the best way to make sure that we keep doing this podcast week after week. Also, if you like boxing, subscribe to the SI Boxing Podcast. That also comes out every single week. Now, joining me from Las Vegas, a man that likes to Instagram more photos of food than a Beverly Hills girl, Arash Markazi from LA Times. What's up, man?
Not much. I have changed my ways, though. It's more salads. It's more salmon. It's a healthier variety of food, Chris.
You know, it's okay to go to like a social function and not Instagram every 5 minutes of your experience.
You know,
it's okay to do that.
I want to take people on this journey with me. I want them to kind of be along for the ride.
Okay, but my least favorite Markazi posts are you at a club and it's 50 of the same thing. It's like,
oh yeah,
bang, 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 bang,
yeah,
bang.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That shouldn't happen. It should just be one. It should not be a series of basically the same performer singing or something else. That's unfortunate. So sometimes it goes a little bit off the rails, but that's okay.
Okay. You just keep doing you there, Arash. All right, let's jump right into it. Clippers, let's start with the Clippers.
Yep.
And what a monstrous weekend for Lawrence Frank, for everyone in that Clipper organization. Jerry West, his hand in it. Clippers get Kawhi Leonard, and they get Paul George. They gave up a haul of draft picks, a record-setting amount of draft picks. They parted ways with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. As you know, they were pretty high on. Terrific rookie season last year. But they get a top-five player in Kawhi Leonard, a top, let's say, 15 to 20 player, if you want to get conservative, with Paul George. And now they go into next season realistically saying that they are a front runner to win the NBA championship. What did you make of all the moves the Clippers made over the weekend?
It was amazing. And when you look at the two players in particular, those were the two guys, if you were a Lakers fan, you kind of leaned on the fact that those two guys are from Los Angeles or nearby. And they both, in consecutive summers, turned down the Lakers. And they both chose to go to the Clippers. And you look at the Clippers' history, Chris, and it's like Chris Paul didn't want to go there. He wanted to go to the Lakers. That trade fell through. He went to the Clippers. That was not his first choice. Blake Griffin got drafted by the Clippers. DeAndre Jordan got drafted by the Clippers. And in this situation, you have two of the top players in the prime of their careers choosing not to go to the Lakers, but to go to the Clippers. It's huge just from the significance of where that team rests. But also, when you look at the makeup of that team, it was a massive haul of draft picks. But when you look at that trade, I think you do have to think of it as a trade for two players here, because they were not going to get Kawhi without Paul George. So they do the trade for Paul George. Because of that, they get Kawhi. And I think, well, at least if you look at the Las Vegas Sportsbook, they are the favorite. You look at a third of the league probably feels that they have a chance. But the Clippers right now, maybe favorites, not by a lot, but maybe the favorites for the first time. Another first. They've been good. When they had Lob City, they were a top five team at their top. At their ceiling, they were a top five team. Never made a conference final. For the first time, we may go into the season with the Clippers being the favorites to win the whole thing.
How stunned do you think the Clippers were to hear from Kawhi that, okay, I'll come, but you got to go get Paul George or Jimmy Butler or some other star to play with me, because all season long they were shadow recruiting Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. I mean, the goofy part of it, whether it's, you know, having somebody in a Clippers polo at every single Raptor game.
You go to
game.
The Bruce Bowen said something negative about Kawhi and they parted ways with him, that was the first kind of public showing of, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that this guy's happy.
Yeah, but I don't know that they ever expected that Kawhi would come back to them and say, all right, I'm in, but I'm only in if you bring somebody else to the table. I think they felt that they had a, I don't know if it's a championship-rated team, but a contending team that he could step right into and improve on his own. I'm not sure they ever really anticipated him insisting that there be a second guy to come along with him.
The unfortunate thing for them is they put themselves in a position where they had two max slots. It was not going to be hard for them to get to two max. So they didn't really have to do this in terms of if they could have gotten Kawhi and another max guy, whether that was KD, we had heard talk about that, or Jimmy Butler, or someone else. Because they didn't do that, they gave up all these, you know, these players and picks to get that second guy. But it's kind of unfortunate when you look at it, because they didn't necessarily have to do that if they got someone who was not currently with a team.
Yeah, I mean, you still, like, no matter what the haul of draft picks, you still do that deal 10 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just not – if they don't make that deal, I don't know where they are. They're stuck in kind of this mediocre place.
Here's the thing, Chris. They could not – because it seemed like Kawhi wanted to come back home. And just from – not only just from where they are with the team, but just where they are in the community, in the city – they couldn't have Kawhi go to the Lakers. And if it was between them making this deal and getting Paul George plus Kawhi, or having Kawhi join this like super team now with the Lakers, they could not have that happen.
Yeah. Do you think the Lakers were ever really in play here? I mean, this is a question
I'd be curious if his heart was set on coming back to Los Angeles. Now, it was clearly the Clippers were his preferred destination. I mean, I think it's fascinating that he strung the Lakers along where, you know, give me till Friday, give me till Saturday, give me till Sunday. So it did seem like he wanted to come back home. So I don't think he wanted to go to the Lakers, but I think he wanted to come back home and wanted to play with another star enough where I think he would have gone there. I think he would have gone to the Lakers.
I'm torn by it all. I mean, and I've said this before, like Kawhi Leonard going to the Lakers would be antithetical to everything I know about Kawhi Leonard. He has always believed that despite his public perception, he's the alpha. He's the best player on the floor whenever he steps on it against whomever. He can carry a team almost single-handedly to a championship. The idea that he would enter that Laker ecosystem and be part of the LeBron show and play second or third fiddle to LeBron and Anthony Davis, it never really lined up with everything you know about Kawhi Leonard. This Clippers situation lines up perfectly because the Clippers now, they have Paul George, somebody he clearly has a ton of respect for as a player, and the infrastructure is there. I mean, they have a Hall of Fame level coach in Doc Rivers. They have a front office that is not only headed by somebody that's smart in Lawrence Frank, but it's fleshed out with the likes of Jerry West and Trent Redden and Michael Winger and, you know, guys that could be and will be general managers.
Two guys who turned down chances to kind of run their own team or at least have promotions, and they wanted to see this through. And I really think that speaks a lot about where the Clippers are in the commitment of Steve Ballmer. I mean, he wants to win so badly, and so he's going to put together the best team that he can, whether it's executives, whether it's going out to make a deal for a player. And I always felt that when you walk into that recruiting pitch, and not to knock the Lakers, but, you know, you have like that Jeannie Buss, Linda Rambis, Rob Pelinka contingent, and then you have Steve Ballmer, wealthiest man in professional sports, Doc Rivers, Jerry West, Lawrence Frank. It's just a distinguished group that you want to play for.
Yeah, it would have been catastrophic for the Clippers to lose out in this situation because they had put themselves in the position, salary cap wise, draft pick wise, with the infrastructure everywhere, to show their best selves in a situation like this. And if they had lost out, it would have been awful. But before we get to the Lakers, can this go wrong for the Clippers? I mean, can this kind of go haywire? I mean, Kawhi has always been a low maintenance type of guy. Paul George has always been a low maintenance type of guy. I guess medically, you could see something going haywire there. The Raptors get plenty of credit, but not enough, I think, about what their medical staff was able to do with him all season long. I think Kawhi is probably a 60 to 70 game player next year. The load management stuff is not going away. So as long as the Clippers follow that same plan, that should probably be okay. I don't see too many ways this can kind of go haywire. You don't have a bunch of egos in that locker room that are going to look around and say, man, I'm not sacrificing shots for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I mean, Lou Williams is still going to pursue his like 47th sixth man award. Yeah. Patrick Beverley can now get a chance to start and you know, be the defensive menace that he is. There's just not, there are holes there. I mean, they have to address something in that front court with Montrezl Harrell being kind of the only Zubac is there too, I guess, but they're going to have to pick somebody else up. But I don't look at this as being kind of a radioactive situation where it can go bust at any moment.
So here's the thing. Two things on that front. No matter what happens, they had to do this. I know that sounds crazy, but let's just say something catastrophic happens and Kawhi's not the same player or something. They had to do this. I mean, this was a move. This was a deal that they had to do. So no matter how the future plays out, you have to make this move. Number two, this was a pretty tight-knit group. People forget Doc Rivers loved this team, and the core of that team is back. This was they won 48 games. They took a healthy Warriors team to six games. I mean, when you look at Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley, I mean, that group, and by the way, going back to that Chris Paul trade, very rarely do you trade a star and kind of, I don't want to say win the trade, but they got a group of guys that love playing together. Whereas the Lakers, and I know we're going to touch on them, like you just have to do the best you can and piece guys together. You kind of know what that core group looks like, and then you bring in two of the top players in the league. You got to imagine that will work.
Yeah, I think it'll work. And I mean, maybe if they don't get a front court guy, they could have some problems in the playoffs, especially in the West when you've got so many quality big men at the top of that conference, whether it's Jokic
or... Ivica Zubac is sort of like this... The X Factor. They like him a lot. The Lakers liked him a lot. I still don't get that trade.
That was a magic. That was a magic. That was a specialty.
And he tried to defend it, which didn't make. It was like, no, it was just a bad trade.
There's literally no explanation for that trade.
So he's a guy that if he can develop into the player people think he can be one day, and if that one day is next season, that's the guy, I think.
All right, let's look at the Lakers now. And nobody I've talked to blames them at all for waiting on Kawhi Leonard. When you have even a sliver of hope to land a top five NBA player, to add him and potentially form the greatest super team of all time, you wait. But waiting has consequences if it doesn't go your way, and the Lakers had to face those consequences. Now, how they reacted was how you kind of predicted they were going to react. You knew Danny Green was kind of lurking out there for either Dallas or the Lakers. They give him a two-year, $30 million type of deal. You bring back Rajon Rondo. You bring back JaVale McGee. You bring back Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You sign some ancillary pieces there. But, I mean, this Davis and LeBron pairing better be magnificent.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I really think the Lakers are going to be in one of those, you know, 5 through 8 spots, or maybe even fighting on the outside looking in for the playoffs. Sounds crazy.
I know,
with LeBron and AD there, but
you said that last year, and I said, man, really? And you were 100% right. Obviously, they were a lot worse than that because they didn't have LeBron. But yeah, there's a lot of pieces on here that we knew that when they were going to wait for Kawhi, and all these names came off the board, and they was like, oh, that was their plan B, or that was their plan C, that was their plan D. I mean. And then you knew when Kawhi signed, it was like, all right, here they go. DeMarcus Cousins, and it's like, you know, like all the names that you just said. Not as bad as last year, though. I mean, I just go back to last year and how depressing that was for so many fans that on one day were very happy that they got LeBron, clearly. And they followed that up with, you know, JaVale McGee and Rajon Rondo and Michael Beasley and Lance Stevenson. It's like, wait, that's a hodgepodge. At least they have shooting now. At least statistically, some guys who can make an outside shot. I mean, I'd never seen a team that thought that they were going to be a contender worse shooting team. Three-point, free-throw line. I mean, it was... So they have some shooters now. They have a couple guys in Bradley and Cousins who are both 28 who have something to prove on short-term deals. Not a big... It's, you know, I think low risk, high reward potential guys. And we'll see. Maybe they're not the players that they once were, but they're still young and maybe they have a chance.
I love the Avery Bradley signing. I mean,
we're in the minority, but I agree.
Lakers Twitter is is bonkers. Yeah. It has vastly exceeded Knicks Twitter, but Lakers Twitter, even like I earlier on Monday, I had praised the deal that the Lakers made getting Avery Bradley, and all of a sudden, all these LA people come out of the woodwork saying he's washed. Like, the guy's 28.
They remember him with the Clippers? No, but
he didn't play well. He didn't play well with the Clippers.
But with Memphis in a small sample size and whatever, but he looked like he played well. And we have to preface this. It looks like, and maybe they're going to begin the season like this, and we know he has the potential to be that kind of player. LeBron James starting point guard of the Lakers, taking on this Magic Johnson type role at the end of his career. If that's the case, then the point guard role maybe is not, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, is it going to be Rondo? Is it going to be Bradley? Who is it going to be? But, yeah, it'll be interesting.
I mean, I think Bradley on a cheap deal is a great sign.
Yeah.
Like, just him appearing on the market in early July was great for the Lakers and how that all kind of played itself out. The question I have, though, is with DeMarcus Cousins. Like, you know, he comes to Golden State, you know, ostensibly to rehab and win a championship. He rehabs, gets hurt again, and doesn't win a championship. Now he comes to the Lakers, and he's making even less money than he was making this past year.
Less than McGee.
And there's got to be something in DeMarcus's mind to be like, man, I got to find a way to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I forget how old he is. He's right around 30.
Yeah.
But he's like, I got to be thinking. I've got to get paid. So if he goes through the year and he's not getting – let's say he comes off the bench, and which sure seems like it's going to start that way with JaVale McGee as the starting center – if he comes off the bench and he's not getting, you know, as much production, not playing in the fourth quarter, how is he going to react by midseason with that? How is he going to is he going to like look at the coaching staff and be like, man, what's like, or is he going to become a problem in that locker room because he's looking ahead to free agency next summer?
With a guy making 3.5, he cannot be a problem, because a guy making that low of a salary, you could just cut him. If he's a problem, if he starts becoming a cancer in the locker room, and that it starts becoming significantly harder to get the payday that you want if you're coming out being waived by a team. So I would hope that he, you know, uses this season to get that contract that he wanted, because again, last season was going to be tough for him. He rehabbed, came back, was not quite himself, then got hurt again. Here's the thing. If load management starts to become a league-wide trend, it could be interesting if 20 games a season, it's like DeMarcus is like your guy or like your focal point, you know? And I'd be curious if that becomes a trend with a couple guys like a LeBron James. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want him to play the entire season. And Anthony Davis is the same thing. You want maybe 60 some odd games. So then maybe DeMarcus, that could be your 20 games to show the league what you could do.
I mean, it probably is going to have to be, or else it's going to become problematic, I think, in that locker room. Because once again, I mean, a lot of the same issues I had with the Lakers last year still apply to this year. There are going to be a lot of mercenaries on that team. I mean, Rondo's back on a one-year deal. I guess Caldwell Pope, he got two, and Danny Green got two. But there's still going to be guys that are trying to get theirs within that Laker team. Now, the question I have with the Lakers, because they did react quickly in the aftermath of the Kawhi decision, should they have held on to some of that cap space? Or should they have, and I don't know that they didn't, but I don't think they did, should they have approached Oklahoma City about Russell Westbrook, who Oklahoma City right now is looking around, and I think
what
that's going to happen.
What would they have traded, though? I mean, they basically traded all their draft picks.
Well,
for Anthony Davis.
I think this is the thing. I'm not sure that Oklahoma City is going to get much in terms of draft compensation for Russell Westbrook. It may just be get off the contracts, and maybe that's it. Now, I think they, you know, more like than not, I think they could squeeze a first round pick out of it.
Do you think it's going to be like that? Like, they're not going to be able to get, you know.
Well, look,
there's not going to be a Paul George trade. That'll go down as sort of like the craziest trade ever. But
Russell's got, and I don't know, I forget the exact numbers, but like, what, 3 years left in the deal with at a massive number.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is going to make a ton of money when he hits his mid-30s. And if it was a shorter-term deal, I'd say, yeah, you absolutely can get something big back in return. But I don't see that big offer coming. I think Miami is in play for Russell Westbrook because the Heat just love having stars on the roster and believe that, you know, their culture can change anything with a team. But Miami's in a similar predicament. They don't have either cap space or draft compensation to offer out there. So I wonder, you know, the only option that the Thunder could explore is wait until like December 15th and try to get the Knicks to go crazy, which is not unheard of with New York, like because all their contracts, they're tradable, I believe, in mid-December.
Yeah.
And maybe you can get the Knicks through a couple of first-round draft picks in to get Russell Westbrook as their foundation piece after they missed out on everything, which would give us Russell versus Kevin Durant for the next 3 years in New York, which would be a lot of fun. But, I mean, like, should... If Russell, put it this way, if Russell Westbrook were available and the Lakers could get just him, should they have done that?
Yeah, I mean, because he was another one of those local talent names that, like, okay, they can't get, I mean, this sounds crazy now, but like back, you know, they couldn't get LaMarcus Aldridge, they couldn't get Carmelo Anthony. I mean, they went through a stretch there where they tried to get some big name and they couldn't. So then you started looking at, hey, Russell Westbrook's local. So clearly that would be a name that you would want to go after. And it was so clear that it's just about star and celebrity with them. You know what I mean? When they created that max slot, they were never going to split that up. Now, they had to split it up at the end of the day, but it was always about getting that top five player, that top 10 player. So, for sure. I'd be curious what they could put together trade package-wise for him. By the way, if you tweeted that out, Lakers Twitter would lose their mind. That would be your most viral Russell Westbrook on the Lakers ? And that's it.
Well, I mean, that's what I go for, Rush. Viral content all times. I mean, it's a save for them because I look at the Lakers next couple of years. I don't know what their play is. I don't know how they get into championship contention with this group because next summer's free agent class isn't very good.
Yeah, like, I think that's why this wasn't a save cap room for next year type of a situation. You're right. There's no one huge out there.
And you can, you know, go into 2021 and say, all right, maybe Giannis doesn't sign that extension, though most people across the league think that
Although,
he's going
don't
to.
Don't you think that the whole Paul George thing kind of just, who cares who's available? It seems like if Paul George wanted to get traded or if someone wants to get traded, there's a way now for them to get traded.
Oh, especially, I mean, the George situation, as we sit here, I don't know enough about how he kind of approached the Thunder with that. I also think that Oklahoma City, you know, they might be, and I believe I read, I think it was Ramona that, I forget what word she used to describe Sam Presti, crestfallen, maybe, but I also think inside that Thunder organization, there was probably on some level an understanding that this team wasn't a championship contender.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sam Presti loves a good deal, and he understood that the Clippers needed to have this happen, so he had incredible leverage and could hold the Clippers over the barrel. I mean, four unprotected first-round picks, one protected first-round pick, two swap rights for a guy that, you know, you probably weren't going to win a championship with anyway with that
and
group.
And Shea, by the way, is like almost like another first-round pick. I mean, they loved Shea. I mean, I think of all the pieces, that's the one that hurt them the most because a first-round pick is a first-round pick, and you don't know who you're going to pick, but they loved Shea so much.
Yeah, look, I really don't believe the Thunder were as broken up about what they had to do there than is being kind of indicated at this point. Now, Westbrook, too, like, that's going to be complicated. I've heard some people say, like, well, they can trade him to Orlando. Like, they're not trading Russell Westbrook to a team Russell Westbrook doesn't want to go to.
Yeah, they're
like, that's not their relationship with Westbrook. They'll deal him, and I think that it's more likely than not to happen before the start of the season, but it's not going to be to a team that they doesn't want to go to. But, to go back to the Lakers, yes, you could have, and I'm trying to think of who the player might be that could force his way out. I mean, there's nobody in Memphis right now. You got to look at the small markets.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, is Miles Turner declare he doesn't want to play in Indiana? Does that move the needle for you? I mean, I don't see it right now how they get to that championship level because there's a window here, right?
Yeah.
Like you're looking at 2 years, 3 years, where LeBron is the alpha or at least able to be the top number two guy on your team, and then his contract is up
with
the Lakers.
The two players who got traded to Los Angeles this summer, just look at the haul that those teams got. So it wasn't like you demand a trade and you get them for like a first round pick and something. I mean, those two teams did very well for themselves, I think.
Oh, incredibly.
Right?
But this is where, like, you know, and I was one of the first people praising the Lakers for what they did in getting Anthony Davis. They had to get him. But if they had been able to kind of, you know, keep some of their powder dry there and not give up all those first round picks and all those swap rights or whatever it is they did in the back end of those picks, maybe you could have something left over for a sweetener. Maybe you could maintain that cap space and you could, you know, give it to you know, give it to the Thunder, say a first round pick and Westbrook. As it stands, they really can't do much of anything when it
comes to
draft. Exactly,
because their picks are basically tied up, whether it's a swap or none of their picks are protected, I don't think. So it's like they're in a really tough position. That's interesting with Westbrook, because I know that they wanted that third star and that younger third star, because LeBron's at that point in his career where, you know, here's my 23, here's my, you know, position on the team. I just think he wants to, you know, make another run at a championship, and whether it's two more years or three more years, I mean, he kind of views the next chapter of his life, which is Hollywood and all that stuff.
Do you think the Lakers are the last team LeBron plays for?
I think so. I think it'll be interesting, by the way, moving forward, his relationship and Clutch's relationship with the Lakers, because they really chose the Lakers as a vehicle for Clutch. And they, Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, have to thank their lucky stars, because they could have done that with the Knicks. They could have done that in New York. They really chose, we want to be in Hollywood. We want to be in Los Angeles. LeBron, you come first. Then we're going to get AD. Who knows about the future? And so whether that continues in the future, you know, in what respect, I'm not sure. But there's no reason for him to go back to Cleveland, for example. There's no reason for him to go back to Miami. And I don't see him chasing one last ring in his 20th season. So I think this is it for him.
All right, so the NBA offseason is mercifully winding down. I'm getting ready to go on vacation somewhere in the Caribbean. And I know when I go that I'm going to take my Harry's razor. A lot of guys buy disposable razors when they travel. I've done it too many times to count. But this summer, you don't have to sacrifice quality for price. Harry's delivers high-quality, travel-friendly shave supplies at a great low price. Just $2 for every blade. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your special offer by going to harrys.com/Mannix. Harry's founders were two regular guys who were tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced gimmicks. Vibrating heads, heated blades, handles that look like a prop in a sci-fi movie. These are just some of the tactics that the leading brands have used to overcharge us for years. Harry's makes quality, durable blades at a fair price. Just $2 for every blade. To keep prices down, they cut out the middleman. Harry's own world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making some of the best razor blades in the world for 99 years. They own it. It's theirs. Great factory. Now, they can provide great quality at factory direct prices. 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know, and they'll give you a full refund. This summer, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. It comes with weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/Mannix. That's harrys.com/Mannix. If you want to go out and shop, you can go to the store. Harry's razors are also available at Walmart and at Target.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but...
Like, what's the scenario where he would go somewhere else?
I don't know what the scenario is just yet, but...
Well, his son is the big thing. Like, right. Whether it's to play with his son...
His son, Bronny's a freshman
exactly.
Right now.
So, like, then what he would have to, depending
I mean, this
on...
This is, like, enormous pressure on his son.
Like, I know.
We're, and like, we're counting off the years, assuming he's a one-and-done when he gets to college.
Yeah, and so then at that point, it's like... To that point, does Bron want to do that to his son? I know he wants to maybe play with him, play against him. I don't know. But that if there's something he's chasing beyond a ring, that might be it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you get to 2021, mm-hmm. which is the next big offseason for the Lakers, which is another big offseason for the Knicks as well, if you get to 2021 and they don't add that other piece that offseason, then maybe I could see the calculus changing. If it's just... I mean, look, Anthony Davis is going to be great for the next 7-8 years. Like, he's Anthony
Davis.
That's
why I think they were fine with those draft picks, because if he's your cornerstone, and I know if you're a Pelicans fan, you might be saying, what are you talking about?
Well, the problem is with the draft picks, though, the Clippers giving up all those draft picks, I understood, because whether it was real or not, there was the threat of the Lakers swooping in there and getting their guy, and there was the threat of Toronto getting all those guys and like of making a deal. So... You know, especially when you're dealing with Sam Presti, who's really good at this. Yeah. Like you can see the threats that are in play. I don't know why. Like, Boston was clearly never all that invested because of the Kyrie situation. Yeah. And if it's not Boston, you know, AD's agent, Rich Paul, did a tremendous job of letting the world know. The SI story was like amazing. The best thing.
That
like,
really was.
Like, where he basically said, like, yeah. like, here's a foghorn. Like, he is going into free agency yeah. in 2020.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, 29 other teams had to have been pretty nervous about the idea of giving up anything real to get yeah. Anthony Davis, and the Lakers gave up the store to go and get him. And they got yeah. him, and it's great, and he's now their franchise player moving forward. But they are, I mean, saying they're limited is underselling what they can do going forward. They can't do anything moving
Here's
forward because of their lack of draft picks.
For 6 years, just being happy they're getting meetings with guys and getting turned down by LaMarcus Aldridge and Carmelo, Paul George didn't even meet with them. Paul George was in Los Angeles the night that, you know, like whatever that date was, like July 6th, flew to Oklahoma City to re-sign. They were in a position where, and they missed out on Kawhi, for example, and they had another max slot, you know, and so they were a franchise that you would think, like, who would want to play for the Lakers? They had to make this trade because year after year, they had lost out on the big guy. LeBron was the only one, and it was so clear now, it was just using the Lakers as a vehicle for clutch. Like, again, he could have done that with the Nets. He could have done that with the Knicks. He could have done that with the Clippers. He chose the Lakers, which I'm sure the fans should be happy about that. But
I'm not sure he could have done that with the Nets. He could have
maybe
done
not.
With the Nets.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you go to a franchise in a big market with cap room, and so that's what they did. And but they were a franchise that for years and years it began with Dwight. Like Dwight was the first guy to be like, "I'm going to take less to leave." And it started this sort of like the domino effect of them just not being able to get a big name player, whether it was they didn't want to play with Kobe or whether they didn't want to, they met with Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak and they weren't impressed. Whatever the case was, they could not land that big name. So they were finally in a position. Did they give up a lot? Yes. Did they give up maybe too much? Perhaps, but they had to. They really did have to.
If there's a lesson to be taken from this summer's free agency is that, yes, market size absolutely matters. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving weren't going to like the Charlotte Nets like they were going to yeah. the Brooklyn Nets. Same thing with Kawhi and Los Angeles. But infrastructure matters. How you build your organization yeah. matters. I've got a story in the magazine this week that kind of articulates as much as I could learn about the decision made by Durant, the decision made by Irving, and what the Nets have tried to build in the last few years. And both the Nets and the Clippers have that infrastructure. They have good players on quality contracts. They didn't overspend. The Nets kind of got lucky in some ways with some of the deals they yeah. offered out and restricted free agency. But they built a sound infrastructure there, and players recognize that. Kevin Durant could have gone to New York and been the king of New York as the head of the Knicks under a no-pressure situation next year yeah. and coming in 2020 as the man. Instead, he chose the Nets, in part because of Kyrie Irving, but in part because they just have a solid foundation there. Like, teams have to look at that and say, all right, you know what? We got to, like, you know, forget this big game hunting in free agency yeah. every summer. Let's build this thing from the ground up with quality, you know, quality role players.
Here are two guys who are not getting a lot of credit or attention. Steve Ballmer with the Clippers. Joe Tsai. What a fascinating man and what he's done in the tech industry. And if you're Kevin Durant and you want to do that, or if you're Kyrie and you want to learn new stuff. I mean, Joe Tsai is a fascinating guy that a lot of fans are not going to know about or really hear about until he takes full control of the team coming up in a year or two. I forgot exactly when, but just when you look at the growth of your brand, and if you want to grow your brand in China, and if you're interested in tech, Joe's a guy that you would want to talk to. Steve Ballmer, conversely, if you want to know about tech and you want to know about all this stuff. And so, I mean, imagine you meet with James Dolan and then you meet with those two guys. So, you know, despite the fact that those are not the signature brands, those are two guys that you want to learn from and talk to and play for.
James Dolan is just killing the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, and this isn't like, I mean, everybody in the Knicks organization knows it.
Yeah.
Like, they know it. They know that James Dolan is killing them.
Here's the issue, though, because we dealt with this in Los Angeles for years. Until a tape of Donald Sterling came out saying what we all knew he probably said behind closed doors, there was no way to force him to sell the team. I'm not saying that like anything like that's going to happen with James Dolan, but like you can't force him to sell. You can't force him to cede control. So he's just going to continue doing what he's doing, and nothing's going to change. And I don't know how that changes. I don't know if there's someone who could be like, listen, were you really putting the team
there's,
in a bad?
There's yeah. nobody. There's nobody.
There's no one to have that
there's
conversation
no way,
with
him. There's no way that you know, guys like Steve Mills, who are, you know, good people persons, the PR team there, they're not, those guys aren't like, let's ban the New York Daily News from a exactly. press conference. Like, so there's ridiculous. No way they think that. There's no way, and if there was, whoever suggests this should be fired, that they suggested to James Dolan it's a good idea to go on the radio and talk about how free agents and their representatives have told me that yeah. we're going to be an appealing destination. We're going to do really well
yeah.
in free agency. Like, these are just like gaffes that are so avoidable mm-hmm. that make the Knicks look so bad and put them in such a bad light. He's the problem. He is the problem with that team right now, and I don't know that it gets better as long as he is in control in the way he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and it starts at the top. You know, when you look at the Lakers, Dr. Jerry Buss, and when he passed away and people were like, well, you know, now it's going to be Jim or Jeannie. It's different, you know. And so when you meet with someone who has that gravitas and has that history of championships and winning and taking care of his players. I mean, the whole Charles Oakley thing was the most ridiculous thing because we both know – like, Charles Oakley's a very, like, respected player still within players to talk to Charles, and they get his two cents on their careers and stuff. So when you have security physically removing him and you go out in public and saying what you said about him, it's just – it's a joke, and unfortunately there's no one to change that.
All right, I want to take a minute to tell everyone about the folks over at Third Love who are coming up with a completely different way to shop and buy your bras online. Now, I know what you're thinking, just who you want to hear on this topic, Chris Mannix. But this deal and this new offer is terrific. Third Love offers more than 70 different sizes. You can skip the trip to the store. You can find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder. Order, try it at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. The Fit Finder quiz, you can answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's actually pretty fun, and it takes less than a minute. Third Love helps you identify your sizes and shapes and finds the style to fit your body. There's a 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. If you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. That's pretty cool. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. It is hands down the most comfortable bra that you will own, they promise. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/Mannix now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Mannix for 15% off today.
I remember talking to Charles Oakley when he took this, I think it was his only assistant coaching job with Charlotte yeah. years ago. I asked him, like, what's your role here, Charles? He's like, it's to beat the shit out of Kwame Brown. Like, his job was to come in and beat the crap out of Kwame Brown, like, every day in practice. That was it. You mentioned Jeannie, though. Like, what's your take on, and I know you talked to her recently for yeah. a story, but, like, you know, they are still operating like a family business out there. I mean, they have clearly empowered Rob Pelinka, but they don't have the staff that the Clippers have. Like, yeah. they don't have the depth in basketball operations talent. Do you think that changes at any point? Because if it doesn't, I mean, I think that's going to be problematic.
Yeah, that was the most surprising thing, because when Magic resigned, I said, well, they have to hire someone to kind of come in and from the outside. But
even if it's underneath
Rob. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, but they didn't, and that was surprising. It has always been a family-run business, but no one cares about it when you're winning championships, obviously. So she's handling herself much like her father did, but the optics were not good during the coaching search when you hear Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis and Tim Harris and Joey Buss and Jesse Buss, and you got like a group of six people in there, and a lot of fans are wondering, why are all those people there? And so they are, you know, I don't see her changing her ways. She likes to surround herself with people that she's comfortable with, people that she knows. But you're 100%, like Michael Winger, for example, go out and say, we want you to run our team. We want you to run the basketball operations. They won't. And the Lakers have had a good enough summer that it's sort of like, if they have a good season, it will continue. Now, if they fall flat on their face, which I don't see happening, man, if they fall flat on their face with those two guys, then, yeah, listen, they have to make a change. They have to make a change. It's amazing. That whole Magic and Rob was such a disaster. I mean, I don't know how they thought that was going to work out. They're doing that now to the coaching staff. I feel bad that Frank Vogel's in this situation where...
I want to talk about Vogel in a second, though, but you mentioned Magic. What is your understanding of how involved Magic still is with everything that goes on?
Jeannie talks to her on a regular basis. Magic, from what I have been told, still has... whether he has a key card to the facility, he could still swing by. So it's... he's still involved, you know. The whole Kawhi thing was fascinating. He was involved with that. Now, by the way, he handled that the worst case he did by telling the media, I'm going to meet with Kawhi because he requested, and then giving a play-by-play of the meeting. I think that's the exact opposite of what Kawhi would wanted to have happen.
That is 100% the exact opposite. So, like a readout of exactly. the meeting. I also don't understand, like, this is like, there's a lot of stuff that I need, and like Kawhi will never explain it, but like stuff that I need to explain. Like, why would Kawhi Leonard want to meet with Magic Johnson when
Here's
deciding about
where
the Lakers?
I get this. I think he wanted to know, and why it was important, I'm not sure. You know, what was the level of involvement? Like, how hard did you guys try to get me last year? Because it seemed like he didn't. It seemed like he wanted to go to the Lakers last season. Now, this was, I think, before they got LeBron. But like, how hard did you guys try to make a trade for me? And then I think I would want to know, how crazy is it over there? I mean, I see you on First Take talking about your relationship with like Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and whatever, whatever. Like, tell me what it's like. Magic, unfortunately for the Lakers, is such a wild card that he can say this. Oh man, it's crazy. I mean, no one knows what they're doing over there. But it's the Lakers. I love it. You gotta sign. You know, because the same day he went on First Take and said what he said, he talked to the Times that day and said, I still love the Lakers. I'll pick up the phone and call Rob Pelinka. I want to help the team. Like, you can't do both. You can't say what you said on First Take and then say you want to help them recruit. So who knows what Magic told Kawhi? He probably told him it's a terrible front office, but you should side with them. And it's like, wait, no, Magic, you can't do both. You can't say both things.
He would. I would not think that he would be an advocate, or like he might think that he's being an advocate for the Lakers, but
yeah,
he wouldn't be with some of the things he'd be describing about the Laker organization if he's being honest with Kawhi. Let me finish with the coaching staff there, and anyone that knows me and listens to this podcast or reads what I write, I'm a big Frank Vogel guy. I think Vogel is an excellent coach. He proved that in Indiana with a young team that he developed and turned into a two-time Eastern Conference finalist. He ran to LeBron James like everybody else did when LeBron was with Miami, and he lost. Like, that's, I don't think that's a pox on his resume there, if that's even the right way to put it. He goes to Orlando, and that was a tough situation too. Like, he didn't perform well, no question, but they fired his boss a year into the experience, and the new guys didn't want him there in that second year anyway. So I think if given a chance, Frank Vogel has the potential to be an excellent coach for the Lakers. Is he going to be given that chance within that Laker organization?
I think so. I would hope so. But I just don't like the position that they've put him in, and it's the same position that they kind of presented to Ty Lue, and he said, that's not something that I want to do, which is essentially, we want you to be our head coach, but we're going to pick your staff. And it's just such an odd thing where it's like, we're going to handpick Jason Kidd and Lionel Hollins and make this coaching staff for you. And so I think if given
they
a chance...
They could have like dug up Red Auerbach and like put his coffin on the bench, and Frank probably would have been okay with it that
point. I think
like,
so,
that's,
too.
That's just a and reality listen, of the situation. He was willing to let them kind of handpick
fine.
His coaches.
Yeah, you know, and listen, I think... whether Ty has another job lined up or whatnot, that's not something that he wanted to do. But Frank Vogel may be the perfect coach for this team and the personalities on this team. And if they win, there may be rumblings of the impact that Jason Kidd's having. But if Frank is winning, if the team is winning, he should be fine. It's just unfortunate because he's two former head coaches led by Jason Kidd. But you got two former head coaches who want to be head coaches again in this league and who are going to be talking to members of the media, talking about their, you know, what kind of impact they've had, what they're doing, you know. And it's unfortunate, you know, because a head coach wants to pick the assistants that they have a connection with, that they have a relationship with, that they have trust with. And so they did that with Magic and Rob, who have never worked together, didn't like each other, didn't trust each other. We'll see what the dynamic is with the coaching staff. I just think it's a tough situation for Frank to walk into, but at least on paper, it's a very talented team. LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma, DeMarcus Cousins. We'll see how they do, but would not be shocked if there's some drama there, right?
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and as you said, a lot of people that are not in the business to be assistant coaches. And Jason Kidd, like, I still can't wrap my head around why they didn't just hire Jason Kidd to begin with.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, whether or not Frank would have wanted to be an assistant, you could see Frank being more of like, I'm not going to like rock the boat. Whereas Jason Kidd, I can't imagine him at some point not trying to get that job. You know, basically maybe talking to LeBron saying, hey, come on, like, let's do this together. So I don't know. It was weird because even at Summer League, there was that picture of Jason Kidd and LeBron James talking. So yeah. I don't know.
Look, they've got a deep-seated relationship, and that's fine. I just I don't think it's speaking out of turn to say Jason wants to be a head coach again in the NBA. And I just don't understand if was it the optics of hiring Jason Kidd in that situation? Yeah. Like, I don't know why they didn't choose that route, since most people believe that's the route they want to go down anyway. Yeah. And they don't have, like, they've got some other lower level assistants on that staff, but like, just, I mean, go out there and hire like top flight assistants that people don't know about. Like, for example, Darren Erman just got let go in New Orleans. Mm. He is an excellent defensive coach. Like, that's a guy that could just sink his teeth into whatever young guys you have on that roster and really work with them. Mike Longobardi was let go in Cleveland recently with Larry Drew. Hire somebody like him and let him work with as a defensive guy as well. Just like, I don't see Lionel Hollinsbeck. Lionel, you got the offense. Jason, you got the defense, or vice versa, whatever it is. Like, I just don't see that. I don't see that playing itself out. That's why if this team starts off slow, I mean.
Oh, yeah, Frank's the first. I mean, that's why I really feel bad for him, because this team could potentially have a slow start.
Of course they can. There's no chemistry with the group.
And there's not, you're not going to cut anyone, right? So it's going to be, listen, if they start, you know, whatever, 2-8 or 5-5 or something, I feel bad for Frank.
2-8, I think, would probably end the.
Yeah,
I think there might be a change if it's 2-8 to start the season.
One of the great moments but Mike Brown, like, they gave the poor guy, like, in his second season, what was it? They started like going 2-0-3. It was like within 5 games, which is the most absurd thing. I was like either you believed in him to be your coach or not. Like, you can't do that after 5 games.
I think that was around the time where Mike Brown was getting like 3 paychecks. Like, they were
that's right, Cleveland.
Because Cleveland fired him a couple of times, right?
And then two checks from Cleveland and one from Los Angeles.
It was just an interesting time to be Mike Brown. That's a good story. Arash, always appreciate it, man. We'll look forward to seeing wherever you are on Instagram.
There we go. Thank you.
At the airport, eating like Chick-fil-A.
There we go.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're on day 612.
Yes. Chick-fil-A salad.
Chick-fil-A salad. How is the diet going? You're looking
good.
Looking trim.
It's been
there,
good. 115 pounds, which is, I never thought it'd be.
115 pounds?
Yeah, since September, which I never thought that would happen. But it's the consistency and the cool thing. I've put it online, and I know we joke about it, but, you know, I think people, when they see someone that they're kind of familiar with and making a change in their life and saying, I'm going to work out every day and I'm going to stick to more fresh food, you know, fruit and vegetables and salad and things like that. So it's not easy when you're in a town like Las Vegas or you go to New York or whatnot. You want to indulge, but I'm doing my best, and it's been good so far.
Yeah, my problem is you retweet, or whatever you call it, on Instagram, all the people that you regram, all their, like, the Arash Challenge.
Hashtag Arash Challenge.
Hashtag. I noticed that none of the people you're regramming there are, like, middle-aged dudes. It's all like, women that you're regramming.
You know what? Men, women, children, whoever wants to help change their lives, I am there for them.
Yeah, you're a real savant there, Arash. All right, appreciate it, man.
All right, thank you.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.